This is the day which the Lord has made. We will
rejoice.
All right. Strong here, very strong out there. Thank you, Zach. All right, love that. Today, turn to Psalms 119 today. Psalm 119. And the message is, revive me, O Lord. How many could use a revival in their life? Okay, a revival in their spiritual life, in their financial life, in their work life, in their relationship life, whatever it is. Who can use a revival? Let's see those hands again. All right. Man, I could use a revival, that's for sure. 2 months down, I'm still excited. Has anyone decided they haven't been baptized? They're too afraid to ask, but they really need to be baptized yet in 2019? We're not proclaiming publicly? Okay, great. Great. Think about that. If you have not been baptized, the Bible says believe and be baptized. And we want you to be obedient in 2019 and be baptized if you are a believer. If you're not sure about your baptism, maybe you're baptized as an infant or whatever. Maybe you come from a different background in church and you're not sure if that really took or meant anything, whatever. If you have questions, ask Pastor Eric or myself those questions. Let us help you understand that so, again, we can be obedient. Amen? All right. I want us to look, after 2 months being down in 2019, this being the last Sunday of February, what have we done with what God has given us in the last 2 months? Have we made plans for the next 10 months and what we're going to do with what God has given us? Psalm 119 is going to help us with just what can get us in an obedient mood. And this is a very long chapter, okay? And we're going to read a lot of it. So just hang in there, settle in, adjust yourself a little bit, side to side, whatever you need to do. Kick back, I don't know. But this is a very long thing. Psalm 119, hang on just a moment. Let's see here. Psalm 119, 176 verses long. Okay, we're going to focus on a couple things that it says, though. And there's a couple things that it highlights constantly throughout here. And one of them is, revive me. It's 10 times in my translation. It says, revive me. That's probably pretty important then, if it mentions it 10 times. Teach me is also mentioned 10 times. Teach me, very important. Meditate or meditation is mentioned 7 times. And it could be more than that. I tried to count this thing 100 times over, not literally, but almost. And I kept getting different numbers. So we're about 10 times on each one of these things. And we'll look at these. In the beginning, you young people that are working on that ball of yarn that Kisha gave you in Sunday school class. Okay? I understand you had a great lesson. However, I need you to pay attention during service today. Take a break from that and come back and finish your lesson afterwards. Because it says right here in Psalm 119 verse 9. That was very intentional for you young people, by the way. Thank you, Kisha. It says, how can a young man cleanse his way? Listen up, young men. Put the yarn down. Listen up. This answer is for you. And I'm sure it pertains to the rest of us. And it says, by taking heed according to your word with my whole heart. That means its entirety. You don't get to hold off a little piece for yourself. In its entirety, my whole heart, I have sought you. Oh, let me not wander from your commandments. Young people, man, how can a young man cleanse his way? By not wandering away from his word. Amen? Young people, amen?
Amen.
And old people, don't holler out amen thinking you've just made yourself young, but to our teenagers and those in the young 20s, early 20s. And again, this can pertain to the rest of us. But it says right here, for you guys specifically, taking heed according to your word. Now, I apologize, but I'm not going to read all almost 200 verses in here. So I'm going to kind of pop down through them fairly quickly. And we're going to focus on some of these things. But verse 11, where we stop, says, verse 11, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes. With my lips I have declared all the judgments of your mouth. I have rejoiced in the way of your testimonies. As much as in all riches, I will meditate on your precepts and contemplate your ways. Now, what is precepts? It was interesting, as many times as it mentions precepts in here, and Eric and Jan were praying this morning in the office, and Eric was praying on precepts and meditating and praying over those things. And precepts simply means a rule to regulate your behavior or your thought. So it says, God, I want to meditate on these rules that help us to regulate our behavior and our thought. And how many know, as Christians, we need to regulate our behavior and thought? Amen? We have these thoughts that just go crazy and run wild. They get out there and they spin out of control. Now, it may be that we took it in a text or an email, and you know those come across with all our emotions, right? No, you can't understand that at all. But we can take those things and we can run wild with those. Oh my gosh, they told me that, that, that. Well, where did you add that to that? All it said was, hey, where are you? They said, where are you? And we take these things, these thoughts and behaviors, and we're running wild with those things. They were all nasty with me. They simply asked where you were. And it says, oh my gosh, we have to meditate on God's, there's a capital Y when it says your precepts, your rules to help us regulate our behavior and our thoughts. Well, that's God. That's God's rules, not our rules, not man-made rules that we're doing these things for. And it says, and we have to contemplate your way. Again, capital Y for God's way. I will delight myself in your statutes. I will not forget your word. David continually says throughout this psalm, and we'll find, revive me. Teach me. He says some other things, open my eyes, but then he says, but let's meditate on these things. And we talked in 2019 about being a church that's more intentional, and we've got to focus on these things. Doctrine and studying together and fellowship together and breaking bread together. And that word we translated from prayer to mean pray. We've got to pray. That's why when we have need for Chelsea praying for her friend's baby, we're going to stop and we're going to pray and we're going to be obedient to that. We had need to meet up here and pray for Tim and his family. There's a need to pray for me for Guatemala. There's a need to pray for many of you and your needs. And we want to be obedient and do those things. It says, deal bountifully with your servant that I may live and keep your word. But listen to verse 18. And it says, open my eyes. Open my eyes. Why? Why does he say open my eyes? That I may see wondrous things, but not just see them in their beauty. See wondrous things from your law. Most of us don't say, I want to look at the law and see wondrous things and all that. Well, all I see is a bunch of restrictions and punishments. But he says, no, I want open my eyes that I may see wondrous things in your law. You see, we're a Christian people that should be filled with joy and peace. We should be comforted and we should be offering others comfort as he showed us comfort. Not just during the time when we put the banners out here during Advent. Throughout the year, we should be full of joy. We should be full of hope. We'll be talking about that, by the way, in the state of the church, just to help us keep focus and keep Christ-centered and what that can mean for us. But that we can see wondrous things from your law. We're going to skip over to verse 25. Look at that. Found another meditate in verse 23. I knew I'd miss a couple. It says, my soul clings to the dust. My soul clings to the dust. Revive me. Now we're going to look at a couple different things. Each time he says, revive me. How are we to revive him? And the things that he mentions are, revive me according to your word, your judgment, your loving kindness, your justice, your righteousness. Revive me according to your way. These are all the different things throughout this chapter when he says revive me, that he says revive me according to those things. When he says teach me, there's only three things and they're about the same. It says teach me your statutes. Eight times. And then it says teach me your good judgment, knowledge, and then teach me your judgments. And it says, revive me according to your word. I have declared my ways and you answered me. And then he comes in and says, teach me your statutes. Teach me your statutes. It's important, church, that we open those Bibles and we get an understanding. First of all, we have to say, God, revive me to even want to open this book up. This book is confusing. Anybody into computers that they really like doing computer work? Raise your hand. Okay, I will pray for you guys. Okay. So those of us that are older, do you recall DOS? Okay. And Bill Gates came along and he said, I'm going to make this in a way and in a language that the rest of us can understand. And we've got to take things in here that seem like it's written in DOS, and we have to share this. Our teachers, our Sunday school teachers, have to share this in a way that people can understand and grasp, because some of this is a little confusing, and it's written in a language that's difficult for us to understand. But we have to take the time to say, revive me according to your word. Teach me your statutes. We have to have a willingness to learn. And then we have to go away and meditate on these things. Teach me your statutes. In verse 26, it says, make me understand the way of your precepts. So shall I meditate on your wonderful works. Now, his works earlier could be things of beauty. His works could be the law. But he says, so shall I meditate on your wonderful works. Down in verse 33, he says, teach me, O Lord, the way of your statutes. Again, teach me. Now, we've got a couple teachers in the group, or past teachers, or whatever, or current teachers. How many times did students walk up and say, teach me. Teach me more. Teach me again. I sat in my car and nearly cried myself to death the other day when I had to take a class, and it just was overwhelming what I was looking at that I had to do. Thank you, by the grace of God, they said, you know, we made a mistake. You don't have to take that class. Praise God. And I'm taking a class. It was U.S. history, but it was more about social events. But I get to take a class now, the life and times of Jesus. I can understand that a lot better. It says, teach me the way of your statutes. And I wasn't lining up saying, teach me. But I was lining up saying, I've got to get in here and I've got to do this. But listen to this in verse 33, it goes on to say, and I shall keep it to the end. Verse 34, give me understanding. Have we prayed for that? Have we said, God, teach me? But God, give me understanding. I know in our Wednesday night class, last Wednesday, Kisha being a teacher, she said, the first thing I've got to do if a student is struggling is I've got to check and say, did I do my job? Should have thought about that before I said that. That's talking about me. Did I do my job in this reference to teach you all? But you all have a responsibility as well. To meditate on these things, to have a desire, to be revived, to study, to have a desire to learn. Teach me, God. Teach me these things. God, give me understanding, and I shall keep your law. Once I know it, God, you teach it to me. I'm going to hang on to it, and I'm going to keep it right there, God. And he says that throughout this verse. Verse 35. Well, the rest of verse 34, I apologize. I keep getting to the beginning and skipping. It says, indeed, I shall observe it with my whole heart. Again, it's the whole heart. Teenagers, what we said in the beginning, your whole heart has to be involved in this. You have to be all in. He goes on and says, make me walk in the path of your commandments. Why? For I delight in it. Verse 37, he says, turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things. He just asked us over in verse 18, open my eyes that I may see wondrous things from your law. And then here he protects those eyes. And he says, God, protect my eyes so that I don't have to look at these things. Turn away my eyes from looking at worthless things and revive me in your way. Again, he's saying, God, revive me. I've looked at worthless things long enough, God. It's time for me to be revived and get back in your way, in your will, and do these things that you put down, your precepts, your statutes. Establish your word to your servant who is devoted to fearing you. Turn away my reproach, which I dread, for your judgments are good. Behold, I long for your precepts. I long for you to regulate my behavior and my thoughts. Not many of us are longing for people to regulate our behavior and thoughts. We want to have our own. I got to be me. But he says, revive me, in verse 40, revive me in your righteousness. Down in verse 48, he says, and I will meditate on your statutes. Now listen to verse 49 and 50. It says, remember the word to your servant upon which you have caused me to hope. This is my comfort and my affliction, for your word has given me life. Church, when we are facing affliction, we have to remember his word. We have to remember his promises to us. But we have to remember his promises to our family as well. Upon which you have caused me to hope. His word gave David hope. And his word should give each and every one of us, no matter what we're going through, some amount of hope for tomorrow. This is my comfort and my affliction, for your word has given me life. And if his word is not giving you life, you are not reading it properly. That's when you say, teach me, God. Revive me, God. I'm dead. God, I'm dust right now. Revive me. Teach me these things and give me understanding, God. Help me to meditate on these. Let me think about this more often than Sunday morning as I'm walking in church or Sunday afternoon as I'm walking out of church. Let me meditate on these things, God. The proud have me in great derision, yet I do not turn aside from your law. I remembered your judgments of old, O Lord, and have comforted myself. Skip over to verse 61. And don't look at your watch and try and do the timing. Oh gosh, he's only at verse 61. He's a third of the way through. We've got, okay, this much time has passed. You don't know what I'm skipping and adding to, okay? So don't worry about it. The cords of the wicked have bound me, but I have not forgotten your law. Church, let me tell you, the enemy is out there and he's just prowling and he is looking. And he's saying, who's making progress? Where can I knock them down? Okay? Who's having trouble that I can kick them down some more? Who's got and as I look at you and say these things, I'm not saying these because I'm going to say, as he looks around and says, who's got a weak grip? I'm not implying anyone over here has a weak grip. I'm just saying. But he looks around and he says, they've got a weak grip. Let me come over here and just tickle them a little bit. This church is making progress. This church is moving forward spiritually, financially, through what we're learning and growing in that aspect as well, through our education and knowledge of the Bible, through His Word, through our connect groups. And where do you think the enemy is? He might as well be standing right next to me right here, just punching you all in the gut, kicking you in the shins, poking you in the eyes with a sharp stick. The enemy's here and he's real. And he knows when a church is on the move and a person is on the move and the people are on a move, he's there ready to hold you back or knock you back or knock you down. We've said before, two steps forward and one step back is still forward momentum. But I know sometimes you guys are thinking, I'm taking one step forward and two back. Adam, the ratio's wrong there. The cords of the wicked have bound me. But I have not forgotten your law. Did we remember to praise him in the midst of that? Did we remember to take ourselves and remove ourselves from the front of that equation and say, it's not about me? The Bible tells us, look out for others before ourselves. Don't just worry about them. Take care of that person right in front of you before you get to them. These cords of the wicked are very real. It says they have bound me. But we've got to know we can break free. Eric, you prayed this morning, man, may those people in bondage be freed today. Trust me, I know Eric. Those aren't just words. That's his prayer. God, for those people in bondage today, I don't care if you're a young teenager still trying to undo that ball of yarn. I don't care if you're middle-aged people, older people. Those cords are real. And they can bind us up and we can forget all about his law. Verse 64. The earth, O Lord, is full of your mercy. Teach me your statutes. A lot of times we don't want to learn his statutes. We don't want to learn his precepts. Why? Because we don't want to live by them. We don't want to have to give up the things that we enjoy doing, even if it's us being nasty, mean people. We don't want to give that up because that's just us. And I speak as Christians in general, not necessarily this specific body of believers. Verse 66, teach me good judgment and knowledge, for I believe your commandments. We have to believe. We have to believe those commandments. You know of the prophecies in the Bible, we have to believe those as well. Of the prophecies in the Bible, Bible will back up if they came true or not. That's our test. Does the Bible back up what we're proclaiming? For I believe your commandments. Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I keep your word. You are good and you do good. We're going to sing a song at the end of service called Lord, You Are Good. And I love that song. And it says it right here. You are good and you do good. Teach me your statutes. The proud have forged a lie against me, but I will keep your precepts with my whole heart. Their heart is as fat as grease. He goes back telling us our heart has to be whole and complete in believing these things. Over in verse 78, let the proud be ashamed, for they treated me wrongfully with falsehood. But I will meditate on your rules that help regulate my thoughts and behaviors. But I will meditate on your precepts. Verse 81, my soul faints for your salvation, but I hope in your word. When we pray for people to have hope and be filled with hope, I pray that they find hope in the word. But I hope in your word, my eyes fail from searching your word, saying, when will you comfort me? For I become like a wineskin in smoke, yet I do not forget your statutes. When will you execute judgment on those who persecute me? We often wonder when God will punish those that are causing us trouble. We don't think about, hey, when will I start loving my enemy? We just think, God, when will you take out my enemy? Maybe as soon as we start praying for him. Maybe as soon as we start loving our enemy, God will remove that thorn from our side. Well, you're waiting for me to remove your enemy, but I'm still waiting for you to pray for them and love for them, as my word says. Adam, did you forget to do that? As soon as you do that, I can get them out of your way. Because you see, that forgiveness, that love, that compassion, that generosity you may show that stranger, that enemy, maybe the thing that transforms them into being a lovable person. We said the other night in Bible study, man, loving lovable people is easy. So it's unlovable folks that are difficult. But God tells us to do it anyway. Verse 88. Revive me according to your loving kindness. Why? So that I may keep the testimony of your mouth. Forever, O Lord, your word is settled in heaven. Your faithfulness endures to all generations. You establish the earth and it abides. They continue this day according to your ordinances, for all are your servants. Unless your law has been my delight, I would then have perished in my affliction. Verse 97. Oh, how I love your law. And again, you don't hear many people proclaiming that. I love your law, God. Thank you for all the restrictions and penalties that you have promised your people. But it says, I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. And we can look at it and say, God, I love your word. Your word is what I meditate on every day. It's what I open. It's what I read. It's what I study. It's what I think. It's what I check things on. When I have problems, it's what I check it against. It is my meditation all day, for your testimonies are my meditation. Listen to verse 101. It says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way. Many of our feet, we're like that movie, Happy Feet. We just got happy feet and they're just moving. We don't pay attention where they're going, but they're just moving. We got happy feet, God. We're happy we're going down this path. We're happy we're going down that path. But this says, I've paid attention to that, and it says, I have restrained my feet from every evil way. Why do they restrain their feet? It tells us right there, that I may keep your word. Verse 105, your word is a lamp to my feet and a light to my path. I have sworn and confirmed that I will keep your righteous judgments. I am afflicted very much. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word. Accept, I pray, the freewill offerings of my mouth, O Lord, and teach me your judgments. Your word is a lamp unto my feet. God's word, young people, tells us where to go. It tells us where not to go. It's very specific what we're to do and not do. But we shouldn't look at that and say, God's restraining me from having fun. No, God is restraining us, just as David said, from our feet seeing evil. Now, we may think that path is fine and dandy. Hey, there's a path. Obviously, it's for people to go down. Did you see that beware of the bear sign on it? Beware of mountain lions, whatever it is. If those warnings are there, there's a real possibility you're going to encounter that. You know where you see the sign where it shows the deer jumping? There's a real possibility there's going to be a deer in that area. And I know deer are everywhere else where those signs aren't. I get it. But it's keeping us from going down paths that are wrong and harmful to us. Revive me, O Lord, according to your word, and teach me your judgments. Verse 116, uphold me according to your word that I may live, and do not let me be ashamed of my hope. I highlighted that just to say, don't be ashamed of the hope that is in you. And teach me your statutes, it goes on to say in verse 124. And down in 133, along with your word is a lamp to my feet, it says, direct my steps by your word. And let no sin have dominion over me. Has anyone ever prayed that? God, let sin not have dominion over me. Help protect me from that. Our Father who art in heaven, blah, 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 blah. It goes on and on. And it says, lead me not into temptation. And the blah, blah, blah wasn't making light of the Lord's Prayer. I just wasn't going through the whole thing. Lead me not into temptation. God, protect me from these things. Direct my steps and let no sin have dominion over me. And teach me your statutes, O Lord. Verse 140, your word is very pure, therefore your servant loves it. Because it's pure, because it's truth, we have to have a love for that. And he says, I love this because it is true and it is pure. He goes on and says, I hope in your word in 147, my eyes are awake through the night watches. Why? That I may meditate on your word. Hear my voice according to your loving kindness, O Lord, and revive me according to your justice. We're coming down to the home stretch at the end of this verse, or the end of this chapter, guys. Verse 154, revive me according to your word. 156, revive me according to your judgments. Verse 159, revive me according to your loving kindness. The entirety of your word is truth, and every one of your righteous judgments endures forever. Verse 165, great peace have those who love your law. But listen to this. And nothing causes them to stumble. The Bible tells us in a couple places, watch out for the stumbling block. Remove it from your brother's path. Do not be a stumbling block in your brother's path. But this one says, great peace have those who love your law, and nothing causes them to stumble. If we love his law, if we follow his law, if we are revived through his law, and we're taught his law, and we meditate on his law, and again, if we love it, nothing will cause us to stumble. You have people tripping all over going, gosh, I just can't get my feet straight. Is the word of God directing your path? Or are you making your own path and you're tripping over everything because you have no idea where in the world you're going? Well, that path seems so boring. I get it. Is God directing you to go down that path? Then go down it. If he's not, then don't. Restrain your feet from every way of evil. Verse 171, my lips shall utter praise, for you teach me your statutes. My tongue shall speak of your word, for all your commandments are righteousness. The band's going to come up and we're going to sing this song at the end. And it's a powerful song. Go ahead and come on up, band. It's a powerful song. And it says, let your hand become my help. This is the rest of the psalm, not the song. Let your hand become my help, for I have chosen your precepts. I long for your salvation, O Lord, and your law is my delight. Let your soul live, and it shall praise you. And let your judgments help me. I have gone astray. Listen up, church. Let's see if this includes you. I've gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek your servant, O Lord, for I do not forget your commandments. The problem is when we drift away sometimes, we don't think to call out on God. But this says, I have gone astray. But it says, seek me, God, and find me. And my prayer is simply this, that in 2019, when we're lost, we at least call out to God and say, God, come find me, for I'm lost. I don't know where I am, but I want you to come find me and I want you to lead me. Heavenly Father, we ask you to bless us as we go out today. Lead our path, God, through your word. Let us be light and salt to those we come in contact with. In the name of Jesus, amen.